Let's take the Word of God now and turning in the Scriptures to 2 Corinthians and chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And Paul in chapter 4, we heard last week, last Lord's Day, there's this momentary light affliction which is producing for them and for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. And that light affliction being the sufferings in their bodies, the struggles in their bodies, being persecuted, struck down, and afflicted in very varying ways. So now we turn to chapter 5 as he continues, the Lord continues through Paul, and hear now God's holy word. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. And as much as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. For indeed while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest to God. And I hope that we are made manifest also in your consciences. We are not again commending ourselves to you, but are giving you an occasion to be proud of us, so that you will have an answer for those who take pride in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Thus far in the word of the Lord. So here their afflictions were light compared to the eternal weight of glory that awaited them as apostles and as it awaits us. We are going to receive the same glory if we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. But why do they not faint under such harsh afflictions? We find the reasoning for this in verses 1 through 5. They didn't faint because of their expectation. They expected to live forever. They didn't faint because of their desire. Their desire was for a new dwelling in heaven with the Lord forever, to be present with Him. They didn't faint because of their assurance of happiness after death, that assurance found in their having the Holy Spirit in their hearts as a pledge, as a guarantee, as a seal. Beloved, these are the things we need now to be reminded of, to take hold of, to grasp firmly, especially when affliction comes. Because of their not fainting under great afflictions. Beloved, you are called to something here, verses 6 through 8, to be comforted in the same way they are comforted. Be of good courage. Walk by faith, because one day we will be at home with the Lord, absent from this present earthly body. That is a struggle to us. Walk by faith. Why? Because we will all be judged according to our deeds. So trust in the righteousness of Christ for you and His sacrifice for you, which cleanses you in your conscience. What great zeal and diligence these apostles have. Some ask, why do they have such zeal and diligence? They have it through the gospel because of salvation. And so they preach boldly, as we are to proclaim and testify boldly. Why? Because we've received the gospel. We've been given life when we deserve eternal damnation, eternal death. And so we are to preach boldly as they do, as they did, calling all to have life in Christ in order to live for Him alone. And then the chapter closes, showing that which is necessary for you to live for Christ and for His glory alone. Namely, first, regeneration. You need regeneration. If you are to live for Christ alone and for His glory alone, then you need to be born again. You have to be a new creation. You have to have a new heart where the old things have passed away and new things have come. A new will, a new desire, a new zeal for righteousness and to worship the Lord. Secondly, you need reconciliation. He reconciled us to God through Christ and gave the apostles specifically the ministry of reconciliation. That is the proclamation of the gospel, which reconciles God to man when you believe, when you have faith. And so you have verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. That are their proclaimers for Christ, that the people who hear would be reconciled to God. It says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. He's making an appeal through us, the apostles, which He is. He does so through their preaching, and He does so through preaching that is heard today when it is the preaching of God's Word. He's speaking directly to us through the preaching of the Word. What were they preaching? We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. They are preaching the gospel, that they would have peace with God. And how does peace with God come? If you would believe and be justified, we have peace with God. Romans 5 says. How do we become reconciled to God? Verse 21. God made Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. How are we reconciled? Through Jesus Christ, through the gospel the apostles preach, in which your elders here preach and teach today, in as much as it is in accordance with the Holy Scriptures. And so be reconciled to God. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank You for how You have blessed us richly in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Father, there may be some here today who are not reconciled to You. Father, we ask that You would cause the Word to enter into their hearts, open up their ears and minds and hearts. You would send Your Spirit to accompany the Word and change hearts, cause them to be born from above, born again, having new life, a new will in which they can believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they would be reconciled unto You. And Father, there are some here who are Your people, who have believed. We have believed. And we need, because of sin, remaining sin, even in the past few moments, even in worship, as we've worshiped You, we've had distracted thoughts and we've not been focused intently upon delighting in You on this, the Lord's day. Father, we plead that You would forgive us in Christ Jesus, who cleanses us of all unrighteousness for your glory. And we know that you're faithful and just to do this and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness when we come confessing our sin, desiring to turn from it unto you. And yet, Father, we have no strength to turn from it unto you. We rely upon you alone. We thank you for the desire to turn from sin that you've put within us, the desire to turn unto you that you've given to us by your Spirit, who strengthens us against sin and even against temptation. And so, Father, forgive us and turn us unto you. Strengthen us for this great task of living the Christian life, living lives after the example of Christ Jesus, for the sake of Christ Jesus, for his glory. We ask that the gospel, that we ambassadors would be sent out into this world this day, and that we would proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ faithfully, and that we would declare all the works of the Lord faithfully, that people would hear your word, not methods of some group has come up with that guarantee that someone will believe the gospel. We know that the only guarantee of someone believing the gospel is if you have chosen them from before the foundation of the world, and we are sent out as your instruments, sinful instruments, and yet instruments nonetheless, to proclaim the word. Someone believes, we know, through the word and by the Spirit. And so we ask that we would be messengers of your word, and that you would send your Spirit. Father, we thank you for any afflictions that you bring upon our lives. We know it's for your glory, even sometimes for our discipline, that we would be trained in righteousness and be brought back to you if we have sinned. And even some afflictions are not from or because of our own sin. And those, Father, we ask that we would turn unto you, give glory to you, that even our example of how to live holy lives would be seen, our good works be seen by those of the world, and they would glorify you, the Father in heaven. Father, we, above all things, long for you to be exalted and for your Son to return again, to deliver us from this present evil age and these earthly bodies which bring affliction. May he come soon, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.